We're going to continue our study today on the blessed life, and this is a third part. And today's installment is going to be talking about that we're blessed to be a blessing. And that's one of the reasons that we're blessed. There's many other things, but this is kind of the angle I'm going for today. And no matter how we look at it, you know, we are a blessed people here in the United States. You know, our per capita income ranks well above all the other countries, and especially even our people that are in the lower income brackets still make a lot more money than some of the people in other countries. Now, I know we have more expenses here. I don't deny that. But even more so than that, though, being an American, you know, we're super blessed as a Christian, you know, to be able to tap into the things of God and to be in the body of Christ and the things that God's provided for us. And I think sometimes we can easily, you know, lose sight of that if we allow the negativity of the world just to come in to be able to rob our joy. And that negativity, there's always things, you know, that maybe we want more of. And if we focus on that, it's just going to get us in a death spiral. And it's going to put us down instead of picking us up. So it really comes down to if we have a trusting relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to do a minor little recap here. In week one, we talked about spiritual blessings. I wanted to start off there. And blessings is more than stuff. You know, we miss it when we only look to the hand of God, not the heart of God. You know, sometimes we just gauge where we're at in life by how much stuff we have, what we live in, what we drive. All these different things kind of factor in, and we can lose sight of what real true blessings are if we do that. Then last week, we looked at Deuteronomy 28, and we looked at the idea of obedience brings blessing in our life. And it was that if Israel obeyed God's commandments, they would live in His blessing. We also looked at Malachi 3, and it really, everything in the body of Christ and in the Bible, it boils down to a trust issue. What level of trust are we going to put in God? And that's, it's learned. It's something that maybe you get as you go along, as long as you pay attention, right? There's a lot of people just don't pay attention these days. You know what I'm saying? And they miss it. So we want to be the people that get it. Okay. Now we're going to look back at the first passage we looked at several weeks ago. I'm going to look at it today. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. Genesis 12, 1 to 4. And now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and also you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us to come to you in this free country that we can experience all your great blessings. Lord, help us to tap in to the way that you do things. We know that we have a system in this world that is not how you do it, and sometimes we have strongholds in our life that maybe make us look at things wrongly. But Lord, help us to tap in to what you have for our life. We know that you have many blessings coming our way. And the Bible says that the blessings of God will overtake us, or they're going to chase us down. And Lord, we want to put ourselves in that position to receive. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. And I pray that words both pierce and penetrate leave my lips, and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. First point I want to look at today is, are you a blessing? Are you a blessing? Has anybody ever accused you of that? You know, I don't know if I have. I probably have a couple times. But my wife's a blessing. She gets accused of that all the time. But am I a blessing, or are you a blessing in your life? And do you consider yourself that way? You know, God first had to bless Abram before, and I'm going to use disclaimer, Abram and Abraham, you know, interchangeably, because it's just a habit. You know, Abram was his name until he cut a covenant with God later on. And then God took some of the letters of his name and put it in Abraham's, or I did it right there, put it in Abram's name, and he became Abraham. Okay? So I'm going to probably mess up today. I'm going to say Abram. I'm going to try to stay on what it says here. But if I say Abraham, we know it's the same person. Amen? Okay. So God had to bless Abram so that he could be a blessing. And we too need to be blessed before we can be a blessing. So you have to be blessed before you can be a blessing. Now, Abram possibly never saw himself as a big blessing. You know, he had a lot of stuff. He came from kind of a well-to-do family. They were agriculture-related, had a lot of livestock and different things. But one thing he didn't have was he didn't have an heir. He had no children. 75 years old, you know, no kids. And in that culture, that was very hard, because what happened was that there was nobody to really carry on the name. And so even though he had a lot of stuff, I feel that Abram probably felt he was a little bit cursed by God. Because God back then, if you didn't have kids or you had kids or if things happened, God usually got the blame. You know, the reason why you didn't have a kid is because God didn't want you to have one. You know, that's just kind of how they looked at it. So he might have kind of had an odd relationship or thinking about God, sometimes the way that we do. But at 75 years old, God called him out. And he said, now I'm going to bless you. So if you're not 75 yet and you've been waiting, hey, there's still time, right? But I believe we're going to get a little bit quicker than that. So he's 75 years old and he had no children. And like I said, it was very difficult. And the idea is that fact that as people look at our life, you know, they look at Abram and he looked blessed on the outside, but on the inside he probably didn't feel that way. And maybe you're here today like that. Maybe you have stuff, but you don't have some of the inside things that you really need. And I believe that everybody here has something in their life that they can use to be a blessing to others. And I want to say, do we leverage what God has entrusted to us to make a difference in this world? Now, as I get older, you think more about the end than the beginning. You know what I'm saying? My days, you know, unless, you know, I don't know if I want to live to be 120 or not. You know, we'll see if, you know, if I really take good care of myself, you know, maybe that would be an option. But for the most part, I'm on the downhill slope. And I'm looking ahead about, you know, I'm guessing how many years could I have yet? How many years do I have left to do things or to make an impact in this world? You know what, you know, for the glory of God, not for myself. I don't want a hospital named after me. And I'm to the point I don't even want a tombstone anymore. You know, I just want what I've done in people's lives to carry on to the next generation. Amen. That's the most important thing. What we do for Jesus and Christianity and the fact of the Christian faith of how it needs to be propagated and to reach out, that's what we need to be a part of. And so do we leverage what we have, or are we afraid? You know, I think fear of lack will hold us back. Fear of lack will hold us back. You know, I'm not so naive that, you know, when Jesus called the rich young ruler, remember that time he said, sell all you have and give to the poor? The only reason, Jesus doesn't do that for everybody, just that guy was a greedy person. Money was his God, and God wanted him to get rid of that God and accept the real God. And that's the only reason that guy was challenged with that. God knows our hearts. So God's not going to have you give everything you have away, probably. You know, if he does, that's between you and him. But for the most part, we can all probably find something, you know, in our budget or what we have in our life that we can use to make a difference in this world. Now, one thing about Abram, he had instant obedience. See, God knew his heart. When God told him to leave your family and move out, he didn't think about it. He just went. And see, that's the kind of people that God's looking for in this world. People that's willing to step out from the crowd and follow him in instant obedience. If you know that you know that you know it's God, do it. That's what he's looking for. Instant obedience. To be able to follow in the footsteps of those who went before us. And, you know, out of all the people of the earth, you got to think about this. Out of all the people in the earth, God picked Abram to cut a covenant. And the reason why he's so important, I'll just backtrack a little bit. You know, he's the father of faith. Abram and the relationship and the covenant God had with Abram, which became Abraham, predated the law or the Ten Commandments, which most of us are more familiar with. We just think about the law. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. But see, Abram had a different kind of relationship. And then we leapfrog as Christians over the law, and we get into faith, and we don't have to have the curse, and we start to walk in the blessing because of that relationship. And what Abram did was the promise of the Spirit. See, God knew that we couldn't keep the law on the outside because we all fail. But on the inside, when we get God on the inside working in us, is when we can start to fulfill the things of God. And that's another message in itself, and we'll fall back on that sometime. Now, Abram on the outside, like I said, probably looked like one of the least likely candidates to bless all the families in the earth. And we know that was through Jesus Christ because he was in that lineage. And we may feel like that sometimes. You know, we may have stuff and we have things going on in our life, but then all of a sudden, you know, we just don't feel like we have it, you know. And we when we feel unblessed, I find out we usually get over into survivor mode. You know what I mean? What survivor mode is. You know, we don't want to try anything new. We just want to go with the flow. We just want to don't make any waves. Don't want to really step out and trust God. We just want to play it safe and just try to get to the end. And that's no way to live our life. That's not a relationship with God. You know, that's fear of lack. That's not trusting in the Creator, the one who has everything. You know, so instead of enjoying God's promises, sometimes we get to the place we just experience problems. Meaning that instead of just experiencing life's problems, we need to be experiencing God's promises. And see, if we get problem-oriented, and I tell you what, we have a culture, a generation that's being raised up right now, that for the most part, many of them just see the problem. And they get so focused on themselves that they end up making a lot of bad decisions. And we, as the older generation, need to step up and we need to show them a better way. Instead of just making it all about us, it's not. Life isn't all about us all the time. Yes, we need to have stuff. We need to enjoy life. Yeah. I want to be happy just as much as you do. But if we get so internal focused about us, we're going to miss out on a whole world around us that could be crying out for help. And that's what we need to do, is to be able to reach out to them. You know, I remember a story in the Bible. We're not going to look it up, but it's a leper story found in 2 Kings 7. 2 Kings chapter 7, okay? There was these four lepers. Now, leprosy's bad. You know what I mean? Your skin falls off. Not a good thing to have, okay? So they were in the gate. There was a famine going on. And there was an army outside the Arameans. They were there and they were camped, and they had shut off all the food supply to Jerusalem, and just a bad situation going on. People were, you know, eating their animals, and, you know, not the ones that wanted to eat, you know. But they were just a deal going on. So here's these four lepers out at the gate. See, the reason why at the gate, a leper wasn't really supposed to come and commingle with other people because it was a contagious disease. And we know about contagious diseases, right? Okay, so they were at the gate. They couldn't go interact. They were kind of an outcast. Maybe you feel like an outcast today, that people isn't letting you interact with them. So maybe you feel like this. So they come to some conclusion, which many of us may have come to. Well, if we stay here, we're going to die of starvation. If we try to go into the city, as well as not being accepted, we're going to die of starvation. The only option is, let's go out to the enemy, and maybe if they kill us, they kill us. We're going to die anyway. But let's go out and see if they'll spare us and have mercy on us and maybe give us some food. I mean, they're hungry, starving. So they took off and they went out to the army, and when they got there, everybody was gone. See, God had worked out a situation where the enemy thought a bigger enemy or army was coming and spooked them, and they all just ran off. And they left all their food and all their gold and all their silver. And here these four lepers go out there, and they just couldn't believe it. So they ate their belly full, and they started taking gold and silver, and they hid it and all that. And they just kind of finally, it dawned on them that this ain't right. You know, we shouldn't keep all this blessing to ourselves. They said, we need to go back and tell Jerusalem. Now, you remember, those guys kind of made them an outcast. Do you think they would have helped them? Probably not. Never know. But they said, we're going to go back. And they went back and they told them. And then the king was kind of leery. But anyway, they sent out a few people and they checked it out. And it was true that they were saved. So Jerusalem was spared because these four lepers, these four outcasts, chose to share the blessing that they had. You know, just think if they wouldn't have done that. Jerusalem might have stayed in there and just died of starvation while all that food was just sitting out in the field. And I wonder how many believers are starving today because we don't have faith to step out, and God wants us to do that. See, God wants us to know that if we're willing to obey Him, there's nothing that we can't accomplish for His glory. See, when Abram obeyed and followed God, it paved the way for Jesus to come to the earth. And Jesus is one big blessing. See, that's the faith that Abraham had. When he chose to obey God, it opened the way that through all him, all the families of earth will be blessed. You know, through Abraham, we know that later on came the 12 tribes, and out of that tribe, out of the tribe of Judah came Jesus, and then through Jesus, all the earth is blessed. So that just happened by one person stepping out. Now I want to get to the New Testament, and this is kind of want us to catch into how we're blessed to be a blessing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 to 13. And this is a passage that sometimes we use when we take up an offering or things like that. But it talks a little bit about money here. And this is a good one for you to kind of meditate on and look at and just see what the Holy Ghost reveals to you. Okay? And it says, God is able to make all grace abound to you. See, God is able, okay? So that always having all sufficiency in everything, okay, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, verse 10. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God because of the confession of the gospel of Christ and for all the liberality of construction to them and all. Okay, so basically what that's saying there, it tells us about a different system. And we're going to look at the point that God is able. We have to see that. And that's where we fall short sometimes. I guess probably a lot of us probably feel that God's able, but sometimes we kind of wonder if God's willing. Just like some of the people who wanted to get healed in the New Testament. You know, they knew that God could do it, but is God going to do it for me? And that's where the rubber meets the road. I know God can do it, but is God going to do it for me? And we need to get past that spot in our mind. That's where we get high-centered or hung up. You know, where we can't move our wheels. You ever got hung up with your vehicle? Oh my, that's a bummer. You know, you get high-centered and your traction, no, you just spin, you know, and it's a real drag. But we want to keep our tires on the road so they can get some grip. So to have the blessed life, we need to understand that God can give it to us and God is able. You know, we get so caught up and I have to do this and I have to do that. And I'm a proponent. You do need to work. You need to have a job. I mean, that's all. That's Bible. Bible says you don't eat, you don't work. Or don't work, you don't eat. You don't eat, you don't work either. I mean, I don't know how that works. You get tired. But anyway, you don't work, you don't eat. You know, I'm all for that. You know, but God blesses us through that. But, you know, I've found, and this is a funny story, and it did happen here in the church years ago, and I've shared this before, that how it's easier to give other people's money away. Have you ever been involved in that? You know, I remember somebody and they were going to college and they got free money because of their income and they would tithe on that. And I told them, you don't need to do that. I mean, that's money to go to school, you know. That's not really income, so I don't consider it income. And some other may, but anyway, they wanted to tithe on that. And I said, okay, we'll just pray God blesses it and we'll just do that and God will honor your faith. And they did. God took care of them. They graduated school and got a job, and got a decent job. You know what? They quit tithing because they had to work for it. It was easy to give other money away, free money, but they couldn't part with what they felt they earned. And their life spiraled out of control. Just brought the curse back in their life. So it's a tough situation. See, I believe that we need to get to the understanding that it's all God's anyway. We're not going to take it with us. All we are is just stewards, and we'll approach, if we do that, we're going to approach generosity in a different way. See, the Bible says here that God supplies seed, and I want us to see that in verse 10. Okay, verse 10 says, God's, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing. Okay, this is a key revelation that we need to understand in our mind. There's two things. You got seed and you got bread. You eat bread, right? Or maybe some of you are on keto. Maybe you don't do bread. I don't know. But bread is a symbol of your needs being met. Okay? But God gives you seed for sowing. Okay? You got seed to sow. Anybody's done any gardening or farming, you know what happens when you put a seed in the ground. It multiplies. Correct? You don't sow one seed and get one seed back. Most people wouldn't do that. You wouldn't survive. But when you sow a seed, it's a multiplication has to happen. God set it up that way. Seed time and harvest in the book of Genesis. Look it up for yourself. That's just the principle that God has done in Scripture. And we can, you know, learn to flow with that, or we can flow against that. So we see here that God will supply the seed. So he gives the seed. And we don't need to confuse the two. Like I said last week, at the end of my message, some people eat their seed. Then they have nothing to sow. And this is getting us over into God's system. Okay, now what's interesting to me is that God says, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed. He didn't say he's going to multiply your bread. Why? You can only eat so much bread. You only need so much stuff to live, right? Once you get your needs met, and whatever your needs are different than mine, you know, but whatever, whenever your needs are met, you know, don't make the mistake of the guy who built a bigger barn, you know what I mean? He didn't trust God, and he died, and he didn't get to enjoy anything. And see, that's what's happened. I've watched a lot of people that work like dogs, trying to make all the money they can, and then they die, and they don't get to enjoy it. Now, here it says that if you have seed and then you have bread and you're using your seed properly, God says he's going to multiply your seed. That means he's going to put you in a place where you can sow more seed to be a bigger benefit or a bigger blessing in the body of Christ. And it's all between you and God. This is not, I'm not giving you any special formula other than what the Scripture says here. And just like in Malachi 3, Bible says test him on this, you know, and just see if you get to level trust. How I know is the fact that, you know, we have the Holy Ghost living inside of us. If you're a born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, and you need to learn to hear his voice, because that's what he wants to do. He's going to speak to us. He's going to lead us. He's going to guide us, not just for decisions and where to go here or there, but also in the area of our giving. You know, God's touched us, my wife and I, you know, in our spirit and our inner man, because we have more seed to sow. And he'll tell us what to maybe do with that seed or what we need to do with it. And see, when you get into that position, it's just a level of trust. You know, you got to understand, am I going to keep this for seed or am I going to keep this for bread? God doesn't mind if you have some bread. You know, he knows you have some needs. That's all good. But if you want to get to a higher level, then we need to understand the concept of sowing and how that works in the body of Christ. The reason why we need that, number, you know, several reasons. You know, people need to be blessed, you know, beyond all that we can understand. We need to be a blessing to them. And when we bless other people, we draw people to Christ. I mean, that's all good. Also, we need to get to the fact that, you know, as we sow seed into the body of Christ, it reaches more souls. Lives are touched with the gospel. I mean, just like we did that soup thing last week. I mean, granted, people gave money, but we didn't want it. But we tried to, you know, reach people. We put gospel tracts and information in that when we delivered everything. We just wanted to touch their life and let them know we love them. But also, we don't love them just to feed their body, but I care so much about their soul, where they're going to spend eternity. So we just put some information in there just so they could read and make their own decision. As I mentioned before, my life was changed through gospel tracts. When I first came to Christ, you know, I was just hungry for God, didn't know where to start out reading, but my roommate had a bunch of these tracts, different ones, I mean, a whole pile of them. I read every one of them, cover to cover, several times. I wanted to know more. So getting information in people's hands is what it's all about. And information, you know, usually costs a little money, so we wanted to be a blessing to them. Now, so we need to make sure that we understand what's what, our seed and our bread, okay? Now, God knows, and you all know, there's a difference between need and greed, right? You know, we need to figure out that difference. You know, need and greed. You know, what do we need, and, you know, what do we want to just be like everybody else? Fortunately for me, you know, I'm kind of I don't want to say stubborn, that's a negative word, but I'm very steadfast. That's a biblical term, praise God. That I don't want to be like everybody else. I never did. I never, even when I was young. Just because everybody else had it didn't mean I had to have it. I want my own stuff. I cut my own path. You know, I follow God how I feel He's leading me. You know, just because everybody else has, you know, a certain car or whatever, I don't have to have that, or a certain shoe. You know, I just, that sort of thing doesn't affect me. It never was a hook in my life, you know. And, you know, I thank God for that. So if we get to the place that we understand that the idea that money is just a tool to accomplish what needs done. You need to eat, you go to the grocery store, you buy food. You need electricity, you pay your electric bill. At least you should, right? You need gas for heat, you pay that. It's a tool to get what you want. And if you want to go buy some nice stuff, that's fine too. So once we get to the idea that money is not our God, that money is just a tool to accomplish a certain task, then we can assign jobs for that money to do. When I give into the body of Christ, I don't just give for the fun of it. I expect that money to make a difference in people's lives in some way, shape, or form. I assign that money a job. And what we need to understand, and I think many of us can get this around there, that, you know, first, that good sowers, you know, get more seed so they get a better harvest. So if you're a better sower. Also, God wants our blessing to be a river, not a pond. And the big mistake that we make, we turn into a pond. Because, you know, God is looking for somebody He can flow through, and not just somebody He can flow to. And we need to understand that. God wants to flow His blessings through us to other people, but we make a mistake of God just wants to flow His blessings to us. And so we take them blessings and we either hoard them or we spend them on things that we're not supposed to, you know, and that's between you and God. You got you have the Holy Ghost inside of you. You need to follow that and not get led astray. A lot of Christians get led astray. You know, we've watched them. Some of them TV preachers, they get all half-cocked. And, you know, not all of them, but some. They get out there and they start getting more stuff. And they got to be like, oh, they got to buy a jet now. I need a jet. I don't fly commercial. Well, I need my own jet. Well, if God said that, that's fine. But sometimes they just want to be like everybody else. You know, and they spend millions and millions of dollars of God's money buying something that just draws attention to them instead of giving glory to God. And that's why we need to be careful on some of that stuff. And we can do the main, we pick on TV preachers sometimes, but, you know, we can do the same thing. So we need to be a river. Okay, last point. Blessed to be a blessing. This is what I want to get to. You know, it kind of talked about the idea of being enriched for our liberality, how that's important. I think everybody wants to be enriched in all ways, shapes, or form. See, enriched in everything is, it happens because we're generous. This passage is talking about a church, the early church, and there was a problem in another section of the area. You know, maybe it was in Jerusalem they were talking about. There was like a famine or things were going bad, the persecution. So this church here, the Corinthian church, was sending money to help another church. And that's what we do through missions and different things and however that works. And they were blessed because of their generosity. And these are the things, you know, that as we learn to tap into those things, then we understand, you know, because our obedience will glorify God. You know, have you ever heard somebody praise God for that? Somebody's maybe done something good for you. Oh, bless God. Thank you so much. I mean, we just know that God's hand was in it. And God get the glory, but he still needed a vessel. I want to be that vessel. I hope you do too. That vessel that we can use, that God can use, and we can be used by God. See, the church has a very important mission of what we need to understand. And when we learn to operate in God's system of giving and receiving, you know, I believe people's going to be drawn to God. You know, the church is a very important part of that. Matter of fact, the body of Christ. Excuse me. See, the church is not an exclusive club, but a life-giving entity for which the world can run to for help. And that's what we need to be. You know, the church, we've kind of lost our mission sometimes, but the main business of the church is to disciple and evangelize. And not necessarily in that order. You evangelize and then you disciple. Then hopefully the ones you disciple will go out and evangelize. See, that's what we need to do. Hopefully God's touched you at this church. God's made a difference in your life. You know, made you a better Christian. Well, you in turn need to reach out to somebody who's maybe less fortunate than you. Somebody that you can put your arm around and bring them along in the body. You know, I can't be everywhere at once. My wife can't. But you have contact with these people. If God's helped you, why can't you let God use you to help them? Then you turn into, I am blessed to be a blessing. And that's what we can do. We can evangelize. We can do Bible studies. We can share the gospel, share the truth. We can pray for people. We can visit people. All these different things. It just comes by being a part, you know, of the body of Christ and how important that is. If not, we just become a club. We just expect people to, you know, just come here and pay their dues, and then we just kind of survive and wait till either Jesus comes or we die. I don't want to be that kind of church. That's not me. You know, and if I've gotten that way, I repent. I want to get back to doing God's business, reaching the world. You know, we need to rise above our circumstances so we can help rise others. That's why we need to pay attention. That's why we need to learn these things, you know, in the body of Christ and through the teaching, you know, so we understand so that we can be better. I have a simple philosophy that the better I am, the more dangerous I am to the devil. Amen. The more strong in Christ I am, the more dangerous I am to the devil's kingdom. And I can help more people. That's why I pay attention. That's why I want to learn and grow. Oh, I'll be honest. I don't want to sound prideful, but you know, at my age and how long I've been serving Christ, I know enough. I don't even have to learn no more. I've learned enough. Or have I? By that statement means I haven't learned anything. I've missed the whole point. And see, there's a lot of people miss that point. See, we need to be continually growing, continually walking towards Christ instead of walking away from Him or thinking, you know, I've had older saints tell me, oh, I've paid my dues. You know, I've done this. I've helped out with the kids, or I've done that, or I've given this and given that. You know, and then they pull back. I mean, we need to, you know, we need to keep pressing forward. We need to keep moving on and heading towards God instead of away from Him. You know, we need to rise above our circumstances. See, we all need seed to sow. But whether we have a lot of seed or a little seed, we need to start sowing. You know, we need to leave the multiplication up to God. And that's where we want to get to. I mean, everything that I've done in my life, you know I haven't been perfect. But I do know this, I am trying to head towards God. And I know that I trust him, that he's going to tend to me. I mean, and take care of me and take care of my family. I believe that. I've experienced it. I've followed him. And I know that God is able, and I also know God is willing. I'm not saying I'll never have a bad day, but I'm saying I'm always going to have a good life by following him.